Truly has been good to be here thus far today, and I thank God for every blessing He's given us. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you today from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 15. We'll read the first few verses of John 15 in your hearing this morning. If the Lord would bless us, share some thoughts that we have had on this particular passage of Scripture. I do ask a continued interest in your prayer. I appreciate the prayer that's already been offered. But I ask each of you just to pray for me that the Lord would bless us as we feed from His Word, that He would give us liberty to be able to preach and to teach the things that you as God's little children need to hear this morning. And we're dependent upon the Lord for that. So please pray for me and for yourselves and one another. The Lord would just bless us today. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus speaking here, He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord here is using a natural picture to lay out clearly a spiritual truth. And we see Him doing that in His teachings throughout the Word of God. And it's a great, great blessing for us when the Lord allows us to be able to see and understand the instructions that He gives. And we know that through the wisdom of man, we can't do that because these things are hidden from the wise and prudent. But as little babes this morning, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, desiring the truth of the Gospel, desiring to know more about the Lord blesses us to be able to feed and to nourish ourselves on the truth of God's Word. And there is a great, great truth in this passage. First of all, we find in this passage who is that true vine. Isn't it wonderful to know there's a true vine in this world? This true vine is the source of all spiritual life. This true vine is where all good things come from. This true vine is none other than the one Jesus says it is. He says, I am the true vine. Now, there may be those who said Jesus was a good teacher, or a good prophet, or he was a good man. But Jesus says he was more than just a great teacher. He was that, and more than just a prophet. He was more than that, more than just a king. Jesus is the true vine. He's the source of all good things. Every good thing that's in my life and in your life has come to us through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the source of all natural blessings. He's the source of all spiritual blessings. If you look at your life and begin to count your blessings, as the dear little Sister Robin used to call that hymn out a lot, we should probably call it out more, not in just remembrance of Sister Robin, but because it is the absolute truth. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. If you stop today, stop sometimes. If I stop my complaining, I stop my murmuring, I stop my being troubled in mind and heart, and just simply think about all the good things the Lord has done for me,
naming them in my mind and in my heart one by one. You'd never get, if you tried to actually do that, well, that's all you'd ever get to do. You would never, you'd never be able to do anything else. And you consider those things in your life. Think about all that the Lord has done. It causes you to be so, so very thankful for this great, great Lord that we do serve. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. We think of the Father and what He did in sending His darling Son into this world. What great love was manifest unto us as His children when God the Father, in covenant before the foundation of the world, in agreement with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, sent His only begotten Son into this world, and Jesus came. They called Him Jesus in order that He, and not in order to become, but because He was the Savior, Jesus, His name it shall be called, for He shall save His people from their sins. The Father's great love for us sent His only begotten Son, the true vine, into this world, and He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Over in John 17, just a couple pages over in your Bibles, it says in John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And so we know that the work of the Son was to give life unto His children. Aren't you thankful that the true vine is able to do that? Every one of His children, without the loss of one, will come forth in the vine. They will come forth from the work of the vine. They will be made His children. They will be created in Christ Jesus. They will be made new creatures in Christ. Every one of them will be born of the Spirit. There won't be one of them missed. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And they come to Him in regeneration, where they are born again, made His children. And without that work of grace, none of us would have chosen to get ourselves into the vine. You see, what the world says, that if you'll do this and if you'll do that, you'll become part of the vine. But you see, the vine had within it, given unto Him, every little child of God, and those that are in Christ don't get in Him when they believe in Him, don't get in when they choose Him. Matter of fact, they're in Him by His choice, and that choice was made before the very foundation of the world. Some people say, well, if I do this and I do that, I'll get my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a little bit behind, because that Lamb Book of Life was written from the foundation of the world. And there'll be not one added to that book, nor one taken from that book. And anything we would take to try to teach or preach otherwise would be in discord with the clear language of the Bible, that all that the Father giveth Him shall come to Him, and none of them shall lose and can lose their life eternal. If you read over in John chapter 10, the language there is so clear and so plain. Beginning in verse 27, He says this, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life. Now, how did they get eternal life? He gives unto them eternal life. Did they do something to merit the eternal life? Did they do something to earn the eternal life? Did they do something to begin? Well, a dead man cannot do anything, and that's exactly the state we are in. In the state of death, we are in a state of death in trespasses and in sins. And if it was left up to us to turn and choose God and do good, it would be just as impossible for an Ethiopian to change the color of his skin or a leopard his spots for a man who's accustomed to do evil to turn and do good. It's impossible. With men, it's impossible, but not with the true vine. Let me tell you, what the true vine does, he sees and knows who is his, and somewhere in time, in the person of the Holy Spirit, he takes up his abode in the hearts of God's little children, and they're made new creatures in Christ, and those who are darkness are now made light in the Lord. And God would have us who have been made light in the Lord to walk as children of light. He commands us to do that. He commands us as His children to be fruit bearers. That's what this passage is about. He says this, I know them and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and get this, and they shall never perish. Well, what does that mean? That means in the final end of things, they will never fall away. Does it mean they will always be on track? Let me ask you, are you always on track? Does it mean they'll ever slip and slide away from Him to some degree or another? Let me ask you, have you slipped at times and have you slidden away from Him? Has there been times when your thoughts weren't where they're supposed to be? I would dare say if you and I were honest this morning, already in this meeting, our minds and thoughts have been in places they should not have been. Our heart has been on things that it should not have been. And there is a battle going on with you right there in the pew, even with me, in the pulpit, where a warfare is going on, where the inner man is, I'm delighting in the law of God after the inner man, but there's another law warring in my members, bringing me at times into captivity. And that I find that when I even would do good, do you? I find sin so very present with me. And so what is He telling us here in this? Well, that a little child of God that is not bearing forth fruit is going to be cut off forever and cast away from Him eternally? Well, we would certainly have a contradiction in the Word of God with this passage. That's not what's being taught here. What it is being taught is that you won't lose your relationship with God, but you can sure you lose for a time and for a little while. And in this world, your fellowship with God. Fellowship and relationship is really two different things, is it not? Well, certainly it is. There are days, every day, if you're a little child of God today, you're going to be that all day long, aren't you? If you're born of His Spirit, you're born of His Spirit. If you have life in you, it's eternal life. And you will never be anything but His child. You'll never be, if you're born of God, you are His child. You belong to Him. There's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's not a chance or a possibility that one that is His child will ever miss heaven and immortal glory, which Jesus bought and paid for and purchased for them. The work of God, as sure as God cannot fail, none of His children will miss out being with Him forever and ever in heaven. None of them. There's nothing that's going to break your relationship with Him. Because you didn't do anything to get into that relationship. He chose you. You didn't choose Him. He loved you. And you ought to love Him. But whether you love Him or not today, He still loves you. His love will never be away. If He ever loved you, He doesn't change His mind and stop loving you. If He gave you eternal life, by the very definition, eternal. If it is something you could lose, it couldn't be eternal. Because eternal means you cannot lose it. Is that not true? Otherwise, it would just be temporary life and wouldn't get eternal till I got to heaven. I'd just have it for a little while. He didn't give us partial life, waiting it for it to turn into eternal. He gave us in the new birth eternal life. He worked in us that which we could not work in ourselves. We weren't looking for it. We weren't wanting it. We wouldn't have anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, you and I would be in this world taking up our fill of the sin of this world. And the only thing we would desire or want is just to keep on doing it unless God somewhere changed our mind and our heart. And I tell you, if your mind and your heart has been changed today, it's because of the work of Almighty God. If you desire to live better and act better and talk better and behave better because of all He's done for you, that's an evidence that His love was shown to you before the very foundation of the world. Not when you were doing good, but when you were in the depths of iniquity without any desire to turn or change or behave differently. And that's a message of grace. God's little children here, it said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What wonderful good news laid out clearly by inspiration of God in His Word. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That is the vine keeper. That is the one who keeps the vine. And he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, if we apply that eternally, we've got someone who's in the vine that's cut out of the vine. And that simply cannot be an eternal application. Listen, this is not talking about a little child of God losing their eternal life. It's not talking about one that... But it is talking about a little child of God. You say, how do we know that? Because the branch is in him. Listen, the branch isn't outside of him wanting to get in. The branch isn't outside not being a part of him. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth fruit. And he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know today that you are clean? A little child of grace, one of the things that troubles him so much and her so much is the sin that so easily besets them and that they feel so much a part of their life. They look down on all the things that they've done and all the ways that they've behaved and all the thoughts that they've had and all the actions that they've taken, and they see down through time in their lives so many places where if I got what I deserve, the very wrath of God would be poured out upon me. What a wonderful good news it is that when Jesus died at Calvary, He was given by the Father every sin that you and I would have ever committed. He reconciled us unto Himself by becoming sin for us and tasting the wage of sin and the death that was brought about by sin for us. And He died in that room instead, and He removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. And that's what Jesus did for you. And you're clean. And he says, you are clean, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He has spoken unto us life. He has brought us from a state of death to a state of life. He's brought us from a state of darkness to a state of light. He said, ye who are children of darkness, but now are ye children of light, walk ye therefore as the children of light. And then he says, abide in me. What that really means is you draw close to Him. You lean on Him for everything that you stand in. See, He's the vine. Without Him, what can we do? Without Him, can I be the pastor that I need to be? The answer to that is clear. Without Him, can you be the member that you ought to be? The answer to that is clear. You cannot. Without Him, can you be the man that you're supposed to be, or the woman that you're supposed to be, in the sense of serving God and honoring Him. As a little child of God, He's given you the ability. He's given you the strength. He's your light. He's your salvation. He's your all in all. Listen, there's not many vines. There are not other ways to get along in this world. We're in a troubled world, aren't we? It's trouble on every hand. We face problems every single day. We have questions we don't know the answers to. We're in a mess if we're left up to ourselves. And the good news is, dear ones, we're not. We have a true vine. He's the vine and we're the branches. And when we abide in Him, He says, and I in you, He says, as we abide in Him and He in us, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Today I need to know wisdom on what to say so many times, and I don't know even how to respond. So where do I go for that? I've got to go to the vine. I've got to go to the Lord. When I look to the Lord, He gives me that which I need. When I have not only wisdom, but if I need strength to get through the moment, the hour, the trouble that you're facing, we're in trouble. How are we going to get through it? We've got to look to the Lord. We have things that concern us about the church and about our lives and about our world. And how are we going to face those things? We've got to go to the Lord. He is the vine. He's the true vine. And as we abide in Him, and then what does that mean? That means to draw close to Him, to draw nigh to Him. We're not talking about not being in Him. We're talking about having fellowship with Him. We're talking about having communion with Him. We're talking about eating of His bread and drinking of His wine and to feed at the very fellowship of the Lord. We're talking about abiding in His Word and abiding in His truth and being mindful of His presence as we walk in this world. Even as we sit under the sound of the gospel, realizing the Lord is the one who has to provide us the truth, and the Lord is the one who allows me to feed upon that truth, and the Lord will have us to grow in that truth and that grace and knowledge of the truth so that we'll bring forth fruit in this world. You see, God hadn't called us out of darkness into His marvelous light for us to stand and do nothingness. He would have us shine as lights in this world to God's little children. You have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility to bring forth the fruit that the Lord has provided for us to bring forth in our lives and to work out that which He has worked in and to do that which He would have us to do and never take any of these things lightly or for granted. He said this, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." He said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." So where do we go today? I'll tell you, the psalmist had no trouble answering that question. He looked in Psalm 27. We read the wonderful language there. Psalm 23, of course, you know all about, and how the Lord is my shepherd and all that He provides for us there. But in Psalm 27, He says this. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my deliverance." He said, "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Brethren, we sang the hymn, not exactly that one, but never alone. When we're here in this world as God's little children, you're not alone. Sometimes you might feel alone. Sometimes you might feel like there's no one else with me. But as I said before, if you're a little child of grace, you're always a little child of grace. But sometimes we don't feel like a little child of grace. Sometimes we don't look like a little child of grace. Sometimes we're not acting like a little child of grace. It doesn't change the fact that we are His children, but we're simply not abiding in Him. When you abide in Him, you remember, I'm responsible to the Father and the Son, my elder brother, to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. I can't just answer people the way I want to answer them. You ever just answer somebody the way you want to answer them and feel like I'm justified in doing that, but you don't get away with it, do you? You don't get along. The world gets along with it, but you won't as a little child of God. Sometimes you think, well, this looks like the easy way. I'll just go this way. But you can't do that and abide in the Lord, because if you do that, you're going to be doing contrary to Him and you're not going to be walking in the way of light. Listen, we are laid down and we are given in God's Word instructions and commandments about how to live for Him and how to obey Him and how to act and behave in this world. And He said in one place, "Those of you who lie, stop lying." He said, "For those of you who are walking in fornication, cease from that. For those of you, you were sometimes darkness, but now you light in the Lord. And now you're not to live like you used to live and act like you used to act and talk like you used to talk. But rather you are to do the things that God would have you to do in your heart. And as you abide in Him, and can you do that on your own? I'll tell you what you'll do if you try to do that on your own." He says, "Without me, you can do nothing." So how is it that I can live? And don't you want to live in a way to honor and glorify God? Well, let me tell you, there's laid out in God's Word those things that God's little children ought to be doing in order to do that. One of them is we need to be praying. We need to pray that the Lord would just be with us each and every day. We need to pray in our families. We need to pray in our churches. We need to, when the preacher's struggling, like I feel to be even at times as I stand before you, you pray for him. Lord, give him some liberty. Lord, give him some light. Allow him, if you're sitting there on the bench and your mind's starting to wander, pray, "Lord, help me keep my mind and my thought upon the things of God." When you're reading God's Word and it seems to be a closed book to you, say, "Lord, please let me see what this truth is in Thy Word." When you're facing temptation in this world and you're feeling led to go this way or another way, remember, "Oh Lord, help me stay straight and walk, if not in order to become Thy child, but that I won't lose my relationship, but I can lose my fellowship." If you don't think God, you can lose your fellowship, you read the 51st Psalm and see what happened to David when he walked away from the Lord and he departed. You look at the life of Solomon and see what happened to him in his latter years when he forgot the Lord and walked the other way. You look at Thomas when he was in the midst of his doubts and see what a mess old Thomas was when he was there. You look at Peter when he's trying to swim in the water after kicking his eyes off the Lord and looking at the boisterous sea. I'm not saying I would have done any different, but I'm saying, brethren, we are to exhort each other as much as we can. I'm saying to you this morning, you keep your eye on the Lord. You're in a troubled world. I'm in a troubled world. You remember that you are His and you belong to Him. And as you look to Him and seek to abide in Him as close as you can, in communion with Him and in fellowship with Him. And one great principle in that is to pray. We sing that hymn, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother? Did you plead and look to the Lord for what you needed? So often we don't have what we need because we haven't asked for it. Here's a great promise to God's little children. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Isn't that a great promise? I'll tell you what it means. It means you get your will on track with God's will. You get your thoughts on track with God's thoughts. You get your wants on track with God's wants. And when you're in agreement with the Lord, whatever you ask for, you will receive it because it's in agreement with the will of God. And you won't be asking for silly things like you and I sometimes end up asking for because we've slipped off of trusting in Him and we've begun to love the world and the things of the world so much that we begin to want those more than the things of God. What we'll be concerned about are the spiritual things of our life, and what God gives us, we'll be content. I hope today you're content with what God has given you in a natural way in this world. Now most of us will say, well, I'm going to be honest with you, there's a whole lot of times I'll want. Even if I don't want it, if my neighbor gets something, I'll look at that and say, I wish I had that. And when I get it, if I get it, sometimes I go like, I wish I hadn't got that. Abiding in the Lord is to draw close to Him every single day. I need Him. I need Him right now. I need Him. I'm going to need Him the rest of the day. I'm going to need Him as I travel down the road to go to Martinsburg. As one of the brethren said, look, when you're riding on 81, you surely need Him. But you need Him whether you're riding on 81 or 340 or wherever you are. You need Him sitting there on the bench this morning. You need Him. You need Him right now to be... To really, I know you've got pains and troubles and concerns and sorrows that sometimes just roll in and weigh you down and make you feel miserable in this world, even to where you forget about the joy of the church and the joy of the Lord. And it's a renewing thing to come and remember, look, one day I'm going to be free from all that and I'm going to be with the Lord in glory. And while I'm here in this world, He is my friend that sticketh closer than a brother, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 27. He said, He is my light and He's my salvation. He's the strength of my life. He is my all in all. Listen, when they healed that one in the Acts of the Apostles that was lame from his mother's womb, and they healed him, John and Peter were blessed of the Lord as apostles to heal in the Acts of the Apostles. And they were asked about who it is, by what power they were able to heal him. It's in Acts, if I can ever turn there, Acts chapter 2. I just need to relax. I know the time is gone, but Acts chapter 2. He says this. He says, Acts chapter 4, verse 9. He says, if we this day be examined of the good deed done. Let's get to verse 7. He says, and when they had set them in the midst, and they asked, by what power and by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, and which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I'm telling you, there isn't a lot of true vines. There is no other answer for us in this world. There is no other help for God's little children, or for anyone else, for that matter, in this world, but in the Lord. And there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Back over to John 15. I promise you I'm not going to be before you very long. He says this. I know the time is gone. He says, if I am a vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. That means when we as God's little children get outside of following him and looking to him, our life becomes withered. We become as that branch. Now, we're not being cast away from him eternally. This is not being cast into eternal damnation and hellfire. This is not one who was in him being lost eternally away from him. We know that John 6 says that he gave unto them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. And we know that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But I'm telling you, for we can lose our fellowship with him. And as soon as we get in that withered condition, when we get away from the Lord, there are men and women in this old world are just able, that are waiting to just catch up God's little children and destroy their very lives. And the troubles that we get into, listen, you get away from the Lord today, you can get in so much major trouble. Now think of that fig tree that the Lord came by over in Luke chapter 13. And as he came by and he saw, and the one came by and looked at the fig tree that he planted in his vineyard, and he saw that the fig tree had not brought forth any fruit. He came by, had been there for 3 years, seeing that the fig tree was not bringing forth any fruit. He said, cut this tree down, for it cumbereth the ground. Listen, there's a place that God's little children can get to when we're not bringing forth fruit in our life, that we're cut off from the fellowship of God, to where we won't have the sweet communion and his sweet fellowship. We won't feel the touch of his gentle hand. He doesn't cut us off eternally. But when we're not bringing forth fruit, he is pleased when his children bring forth fruit. We will feel his chastisement. Israel felt that as a nation. Because Israel had the blessings of God, the oracles of God, they were given to them, and they had been given so much, and Jesus had come unto them. He first came unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And they, in rebellion and unbelief, they closed their eyes, and as not all of Israel, but part of Israel, blindness came upon them, and they were shut off where they could not see these things. And we were blessed as Gentiles to be able to be given these wonderful blessings we are enjoying today. But we should never get puffed up, because the wonderful blessings we've enjoyed, if you and I neglect them, and if you and I take them for granted, do not think for a minute that the Lord will not, at times in a relationship, not in relationship, but in fellowship, he will cut us off. And listen, there were those that in Israel, I believe, that were God's children, that belonged to him, that walked in rebellion. And there are God's little children today that belong to him, that walk in rebellion. Have you felt sometimes in your own life that you're straying away from the things of God? That you belong to him, but you're walking away from him? That he has touched your life, but you're not thinking about him. You're not acting and behaving in a way. And I'm not trying to frighten or scare anyone, but I do want to warn you as God's little children, it's important that you and I are bringing forth fruit in our lives to the honor and the glory of God. And it's a great blessing for us when we do that. And I feel like I need about another hour, and I don't have it. He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I've seen God's little children's lives come to ruin. I'll tell you, we have an example of that in Brother Solomon in the Old Testament. That man was so blessed of God with such great wisdom, and he died in idol worship. He died in such a bad state. God's little children walking away from the beautiful. Listen, to be planted in His vineyard. That fig tree that was planted in His vineyard, it wasn't a wild fig tree. It was planted in the vineyard. It was being taken care of in the vineyard. But it was not bringing forth any fruit. So He said, cut it down. But the vine keeper, he said, oh, don't cut it down yet. Let me dig around it. See, I'm trying to dig around it this morning. Not doing a good job, but I'm doing all I can. I'm trying to dig around it. I want to stir you up to the importance of being obedient to God. I want to stir you up to the importance of not just playing church, but being real about it. I want to stir us up in understanding Jesus is my friend, and I need Him. I'm going to need Him in my life so that I don't just go through the motions of this. I want to dig around it. I want to stir it up. And then He said, let me dung it, you know, like a good farmer does. He said, look, it's not growing. You have a plant in your yard that's not growing. Well, you might be like me. I'm not a very good farmer. I'll just let it go. And the next thing you know, it's dead. Once it's dead, it's got to go. But as long as there's some life and some evidence there, He said, I can go ahead. And there wasn't no question about this fig tree. Was it alive? Absolutely, it was alive. It just wasn't bearing fruit. It wasn't bearing fruit. He didn't come to the fig tree and it was dead and He expected to find fruit. He expected to find fruit only because it's a live tree. And He expected it to bring forth figs. God said here in this, He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. If we're going to be His disciples, we've got to do what? We got to bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? How do we bear fruit? We sit under the sound of the gospel. We pray. We not only are hearers of His word, but we are doers of the word. We try the very best we can. As He has loved us, we love one another. As He has forgiven us, we forgive one another. As He prayed for us, we pray for others. As He has taught us to treat one another as we would want, you know, not only as we would want to be treated, but as He has treated us. Listen, my friends, when we live like that, God's little children shine forth His lights. They have an influence. You have an influence at the job that you work at, in the place that you work. You are to act as and say, how can I be an influence? Well, you act as a little child of God. You think, and when someone says that ugly joke that you know good and well you shouldn't be laughing at, go the other direction from that. When someone involves themselves in conversations that you know you shouldn't have to be a part of, do you sometimes get involved with them? Do we sometimes, you know, are we involved in those things? Sure we are. So what am I saying? I'm saying the only way you cannot do it is by grace. But you look to the Lord for the grace that you need, because to do that is to give honor and glory and praise to the Lord. He says, ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? And if the light has been put under a bushel, does it have any influence? Do you have? You say, well, I won't have any influence. You have no idea what influence you might have. I know one thing, when I'm around God's children, I act a whole lot better than I do other times. Is anybody else there with me? I act better at church than I act anywhere else. Sometimes my family would tell you, I wish you'd act more like you do at church than you do when you're at home. And the reason for that is because we're close to God's little children. We feel close to the Lord. We feel closer to Him. And we don't want to act in a way that's going to bring some reproach to His name. But let me tell you this, He's not just with us when we're at church. He's with us every day, every moment, every hour. And He loves us. I'm digging all I can. I'm putting as much of the fertilizer here as I can that it would cause the fruit to come. Listen, we sow the seed, and if it lands on good ground, what happens? It brings forth fruit. And it brings forth some 30-fold and some, I want 100-fold, 60-fold and 100-fold. And listen, we can't bring forth anything. It's the Lord who does that. But we look to Him for it, and we walk in obedience to what He's told us to do. I surely don't want to see any of God's little children as these little branches being cast away in the fire. The world wraps them up. The world absorbs them. And they become where they don't even look like His children. We wonder sometimes, could that be His child? Don't you think people looked at Solomon and wondered, could he be his child, as he bowed down to those idols that his wives had put up? He had too many wives anyway. That was contrary to God's word. And the worst thing about the wives, they led him into idol worship. And he went into that. And do you think he looked like a little child of God? Oh, look, God's children ought to look like his children and act and behave like his children. Have you been in places and are you doing things that allow others to see you maybe as not a little child of God? Brethren, is that important? If grace saves us, why are we worried about it? I'm telling you, we ought to be worried about it because we can lose our fellowship with him while we're here in this world. And a little child of grace who can't feel him is a miserable character. A little child of grace who can't feel the touch of his hand, who wonders about am I his or am I not, who stays in that great concern, no assurance of salvation, no peace, no rest, no joy, none of the good things that make life worth living. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice that. You hear his word, but then you do what? You do his word. It has an impact on you. You don't just hear about forgiveness and that you ought to forgive one another. You forgive one another. You walk in that forgiveness. Isn't there freedom in forgiveness? You forgive, and you have a peace about it. You say, well, you don't hear about just loving your enemies. You love your enemies. How do you do that? Can you do that on your own? No, but I'll tell you who will give you. The vine will give you the strength to do it, won't it? The vine will give you the ability. You draw from the vine the strength that you need to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. I won't finish unless I just stop. When y'all have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you and I love you.